Welcome to the Orange County Catholic Radio Show on AM 1000 in Orange and San Diego counties and on AM 930 in Los Angeles County. Each week, we bring you compelling conversation with church leaders and laity, talking about the things going on in our diocese and discussing the important issues that impact the world around us. We're coming to you through the good offices of Relevant Radio from our studios on the campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. Here now to introduce our guest and today's topic is your host, Rick Howick.
And welcome to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host. And with me today from the pro-life movement in UCI is Alicia Jacinto. Did I say your name correctly, Alicia?
Yes, it's correct.
Okay. And I want to thank you very much for being here. But before we get into all the pro-life stuff that is going on at UCI, I'd like you please to lead us in a brief word of prayer.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear Lord, thank you for this wonderful day today. We ask that you guide us in all of our movements today, all of our activities, and just be present in every moment today. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. I want to welcome you again, Alicia, for coming on. Alicia Jacinto is one of the founders of the pro-life group at University of California, Irvine. And we were talking a little beforehand. I want to describe her just very briefly. She's not very tall. She's about one-third my age, and she is rather quiet until you get to talk to her a little bit. Then she gets a smile, and there's all this stuff that comes out. So I'm interested to hear a little bit more about how you got involved at UCI. But before we go too far, tell me just a little bit about you. How far along are you at UCI? How long ago did you begin your program?
So I started at UCI in 2015, right out of high school. And we started the group shortly after, in 2016, a few quarters after I started. It took us a while to get started. And then now it's our third year, and we're actually celebrating our two-year anniversary this quarter in April. So it's pretty exciting. For 2 years now, we've had a pro-life group.
Okay. So prior to this group that you helped organize, there wasn't much of a pro-life presence on the campus of University of California, Irvine.
No, they had a pro-life group before, years prior, but it ended in around 2012. You know, the president graduated, and then it just didn't keep going. So then years later, we were very lucky to be able to start our own pro-life group.
That's fantastic. I want to ask you a couple questions about yourself. I want to give you some thoughts on my side for just a moment. I'm currently a graduate student in the doctoral program, Religious Studies, at UC Riverside. And I'll bring in a couple of thoughts I have on that. But there is a Newman Center that we have out there that's involved on campus. But there is very little activity that I'm aware of anyway that's going on pro-life out there. So on campus, I see all these young people running around. I know many of them are Catholic. And yet I don't see hardly any Catholic presence or a pro-life presence, regardless whether they're Catholic or not. So I'm very encouraged, but I'm also intrigued a little bit about what got you involved with this. So before we actually get to UCI, I want to back up for just a moment. You're from here in the Diocese of Orange. What parish have you gone to?
So I'm a member of St. Justin Martyr in Anaheim.
Okay. And I'm a little familiar with that parish, just a bit. So you graduated about 3 years ago. Were you involved with your parish back then?
Yes, I've been involved in my parish for a long time now, probably since I was in 14, 13, around that age. I began being involved in St. Justin Martyr through the choir, then the youth group for all high school. We started a youth group there too, Anchor, if anybody is familiar. And then now after I got involved more in pro-life group, I started to be a Respect Life representative also for my parish.
So in junior high school, because if you were 13, 14 when you were beginning, junior high school and high school, you were one of these agitated teenagers, weren't you? You were part of the parish group that was always asking Father to do things that Father would be willing to do, but Oh, gosh. Do we really need to do that? And you're one of the groups saying, yes, we are, Father, and here we go, right?
Yes, that was me. At one point, I probably could have rented a room in the church. That's how often I was there, every week, every day.
All you needed was a shower, and you were there for life. All right.
Yes.
So you were involved there. You were involved with your high school. Did you go to public high school?
Yes, I went to public high school in Anaheim.
Okay. Were there other pro-life Catholics on your high school campus?
Yes. So I was lucky. My high school was really close to St. Justin Martyr, so then a lot of the youth group teens were also in my high school, and that's really one of the biggest reasons I was able to start a pro-life group in high school also, because I had that support of the pro-life Catholics who also were like, okay, we'll support you, and then they would come to my meetings, and it was a lot harder in high school to start a pro-life group, but I would say we were pretty successful.
So how did you go about doing that when you were in high school? Because there's a number of people today in a lot of high schools that don't have much of a Catholic presence. They certainly don't have much of a pro-life presence. What did you have to go through in order to get a pro-life group okayed for a public school?
The main thing was just be really persistent and always just really nag my administrators. And I was like, I want a pro-life group. And I was really determined to make it happen. And I would have to go hunt after the principal during the halls. I'd be like, hey, remember, I wanted a pro-life group. Can you sign this paper? And he'd be like, okay, just stop by my office. So it was really, and also having the support of my friends and just having them, also my co-president and my vice president at the time, they really helped me out. It's much easier when you have a support group and somebody else to help you make it happen.
It certainly is. And it sounds like you're a very supportive type person. So in high school, you were able to get this group underway. What kind of things did you do? What was the interest of the group? What was its charter, so to speak? What was its mission?
Sure. So we were only active probably for like a year and a half because I started it when I was a junior in high school. But one of the activities, our most successful, I would say, was a diaper drive. So we hosted a diaper drive where around Christmas time, I believe, where we asked people to donate onesies or diapers or anything for babies. And we donated them to a local pregnancy center, pregnancy clinic, actually. And we actually collected around 2,000 diapers. So it was really, really amazing. We had such a big trouble getting them loaded into the car. That's how many we had.
That's a good problem to have, yeah.
Yes. We were like, how are we going to get this home? I was going to walk home. And then I was like, I can't walk home like this. So... it was a problem, but it was a good problem to have, like you said.
It is. One of the things that people don't realize when they're involved in the pro-life movement is it's not just all about meeting in front of abortion clinics and praying the rosary on the sidewalk. It's about making available resources for mothers to not feel the crisis as deeply. The biggest reason why a lot of women take the option of having an abortion in California is because they feel that this is a crisis in their lives and they have no way out. It's almost as if the child is invading their world and they have to get rid of it. And by doing what you did in high school, by just getting supplies, diapers, formula, things that a pregnancy crisis center can help with, can at least alleviate for the first-time mother, for the first few months, some of the stress and the pain. It really does make a difference, and that also signals to the mothers that are contemplating an abortion that, no, there are good people out there who will help us. This is not a disaster. This is not something that's going to destroy my world. In fact, this is something I can get through and I can do. It sounds like you were very aware of that.
Yes. And just like you said, and even now at my pro-life group at UCI, the same as in high school, we try to focus more on making just a choice like that more unthinkable and providing resources for women so they don't have to choose that. So then they know that they have other options, whether it's spreading awareness, whether it's providing those resources or making awareness about the resources. We try to make sure that women know that there are other options, because I think that's the best way to kind of counter the whole argument.
I take it that when you were still at the high school that was very involved then with your parish, that the pro-life group at the high school had a relationship anyway with your parish.
Yes, of course it did. Like I mentioned before, I was like a representative. So what we do, we host events coordinated with the whole diocese. We work with the diocese hosts different events, and we just kind of do them on the church. Like one of them, we have a bottle of pennies from heaven every October, and we've done it for maybe 4 years now. Families take home a bottle, and then they put pennies or dollars in there, and then we collect them, and then that money's donated to pregnancy centers. So we coordinated my high school and the church, and then, you know, people from my high school would come and help while pass out the baby bottles and then later collect them every Sundays, because it's something that takes a lot of work, so then it was good to have the extra hands.
Do you know if that group is still going on at the high school?
Unfortunately, it's not. I graduated and I started it the same year I was going to graduate. It was maybe like a year and a half while the paperwork handled and everything. And then my advisor retired my last year, so then it was just too much change. My entire board members were seniors and I didn't coordinate that. So,
So you learned an interesting lesson, I'll bet, that if you want to have something sustained, there's got to be a succession plan.
Yes.
Okay, so we were talking before we began, and you were saying that what you've done at UCI is a little bit more planned out, because it sounds like you have a succession plan going on. And you're ready to, when you're ready to graduate, you're ready to go. You said you've been at UCI for 3 years. Most people take 4 or 4.5, 5 years to get through. You, however, are one of these overachieving people. So you're going to be graduating when?
I'll be graduating this June after 3 years of college.
Wow, that's impressive. What do you plan to do with your time off once you get out in June?
Well, I won't have too much time off, actually. I'm graduating with a major in Spanish, minor in education, which means that I want to be a teacher. So I'll be entering a graduate program at UCI as well to be a teacher.
So you're not actually leaving the campus directly. You're just switching programs.
Yes, I'm just.
To go to the graduate school side of the house.
Exactly.
Okay. Being a graduate student, I can understand that, and I will prematurely welcome you. I'm sure you're going to make a great teacher, and to teach is a wonderful calling. It's a calling of God to children, which is very good. And it's right in line with ministry, which it sounds like you have a minister's heart. So let's go back for just a moment. So you entered into UCI and you saw that there was not much on the horizon for pro-life group. How many people roughly are at UCI? It's about 30,000 students, something like that?
Yeah, that's pretty correct, 30,000.
That's a lot of people to not have much of a pro-life group there.
Yes, that's... So as you can imagine, there's a lot of people active, and there's a lot of clubs. I would say maybe 300 campus organizations, which is what we call them.
Yeah.
And then for the 30,000 students, each club is fairly small, but there's a lot of us also.
Wow, though. I mean, that's 300 is a lot of things to be involved with. I'm a little bit surprised, though, that for all of the people that are on there, that there wasn't a direct pro-life group. Was there a Catholic-oriented group on campus?
Yes. So there's actually 4 Catholic groups at UCI. Each one's aimed through different. I'm active with one of them. It's called HOPE. It stands for Hearts Openly Praying Everywhere. And it's the one that we worked with the most to coordinate events also with them.
Okay. So there's a Catholic presence, or there was a Catholic presence, but they were more involved, it sounds like, with building community on campus more so than doing pro-life work. When we come back, I want to find out what the nuts and bolts were for you to get involved with UCI, both because if there are people that do go to UCI, I'd love to see them carry on your work, but also because I'd like to see this as a blueprint for where people go in the future with other schools. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today is Alicia Jacinto. And Alicia is the founder and president of the pro-life group at UCI. What's the name of the group again?
Anteaters for Life.
Anteaters for Life. We're going to unpack that name when we come back. And when we come back, we're going to talk not only about what you did at UCI, but also some of the things that are happening in the state that you're involved with. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Breaking news! A new and very special guest has been added for our Holy Land cruise this July. None other than Bishop Kevin Vann.
Join Bishop Vann, along with Bishop Tim Fryer, the diocesan choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City and Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise that will take you to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in all of Christendom. Call 877-538-0010 or go online to occatholic.com/travel.
Would you like an opportunity to read and discuss inspiring books by bright Catholic authors? The OC Catholic Book Club offers quarterly book titles reviewed and chosen by Bishop Kevin Vann. Every 3 months, members gather to meet the author and hear informed commentary about the book by local church scholars. Membership in the OC Catholic Book Club includes 4 books and tickets to the author forums. For more information, visit occatholic.com/oc-catholic-book-club or call 714-282-3045.
And welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio, coming to you high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Garden Grove, California, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today is Alicia Jacinto. And Alicia is deeply involved with the pro-life movement, has been for her entire adult life, which has not been all that long because she's looks like she's all of, what, 21? 20. So I'm close, but she has been very involved in this for a whole third of her life, since she was 13, 14. So more than that.
Yeah, around there.
Around there. And where we left off before we took the break, you had just gotten onto campus at UCI, discovered 300 organizations, 4 of which are Catholic, and none of them were directly involved in pro-life work. And you had just come from having a high school that you had worked to have a pro-life group on. What did you do at UCI?
So how we started the group, I actually work with a national organization called Students for Life of America. So they help students start pro-life groups on college or high school campuses. They helped me with my high school group, and they put me in contact with another fellow graduate student at UCI who wanted to start a club, but he couldn't start it by himself. He got us in contact, and then we also both got in contact with 2 other girls through the national organization. Then this group of 4 strangers at the moment, we got together and then we decided, hey, like, let's make this happen. So it took 4 strangers to get a group started. Now we're all really, really close friends and we work wonderful as a team.
Okay, so how long were you there before you decided, I've got to do something?
So I actually decided I wanted to start it even before high school, even before I was at UCI. From high school, they told me, hey, you know, there's somebody at UCI who wants to start one. And I'm like, okay, I'll help them. But it took me around 2 quarters to actually get started on the process after I was at UCI.
How receptive was the campus to working with a pro-life group coming on?
We received pretty positive response, I would say, from the campus. It's a huge campus, so most clubs aren't really aware of each other.
Okay.
But we based a lot of our support from the start. I had friends from the Catholic group that I had been going to, so I based a lot of my support on them to come support us during our first meetings and all that. So it was good to have that support to start as a new club.
So you have some crossover from some of the other groups, the Catholic groups, at least you did at the beginning. Are they still involved with each other's work? Or you mentioned that you're involved with at least one other Catholic group there.
Yes, we're still coordinate events. Like I said, it's really hard for a college student to do a campus organization. We'll have members who maybe won't come to our weekly meetings, but maybe they'll just support us at all our events, or they'll come when they're speakers, and we'll do the same with them. Maybe I don't go every meeting, but I will go whenever they have an event or anything to support.
Well, it's also hard because UCI fits into what we call the commuter campus crowd. So a lot of the people that go to UCI are commuting in. Very few live on campus or right next to campus. So that means that you've got people that are coming on campus for very specific reasons. They want to go through their classes and then go home. And if there's another event that's going to go on, they have to plan that. And that's not always something that college students are good at doing when they're focused on their exams and their essays and what they have to get done. So what kind of work does your organization then do at UCI?
So we try to focus on very different events. Our mission statement focuses on protecting the sanctity of human life from conception to natural death. So we try to focus on very different events. We hosted a diaper drive twice now, and we coordinated for one of those with different pro-life groups around Southern California, Cal State Long Beach, Cal State Fullerton Students for Life, and then Pro-Life Future, which is the extension for professionals, people who already graduated from college. So it was around 4 pro-life groups from Southern California who hosted this diaper drive. And baby shower for women, and we hosted it in Long Beach. So that's one of our most famous events. And then we also like to host different speakers. We have hosted Obria Medical Clinics. We had Kristen Hawkins. She is the president of Students for Life of America, and we hosted her last November. We also hosted Dr. Vincent Nguyen to speak on assisted suicide, so that's the other side of the pro-life topics.
Have you had Dr. Cariani speak yet?
No, we haven't.
You know
yet.
Who he is?
Yes.
Yeah, he's great. We've had him on the air a couple times. He's still nursing some back pain, but he's a great speaker and very good on not only the pro-life movement, but of course also in physician-assisted suicide and why that's a problem. He's a professor there at UCI. So you've been very involved with the active involvement of trying to, again, try to provide physical support for women who might find themselves tempted to end their pregnancy. And how do you go about helping women to not feel that way? I want to shift gears for just a moment, because I do want to get into the practical side of it a little bit more, especially when we're talking about what's going on campuses around the country at this time. But you've been involved as well with advocacy work, and I know that we've had some things come up in California. California has a legislative branch that has one dominant party, and that party, well, on the one hand, tries to do a lot of very good things. It's got a lot of anti-life legislators present, and there's always a danger of another law coming through that would make it easier for abortions to take place in California. There's a bill that has come up recently, not that long ago anyway, and that has to do with the pro-life movement. What can you tell me about what's going on right now in Sacramento?
Of course. So this bill is called SB 320. It was introduced last year, but it was not active for a while. It's been active again this year, so we've been very active.
Now, SB 320, for those of us who don't know California civics lessons, that means it started in the Senate, Bill 320, and that means that it's being right now bandied about in the Senate. And then it will pass on to the assembly and then onto the governor's desk.
Yes.
Okay. So what's this about?
So SB 320 would require Cal States and UCs to provide the abortion drug, which is called RU486. This abortion drug typically is used for women within the first 10 weeks of their pregnancy. It's a two-step process, which causes the first one provides chemicals that stop the nutrients from entering the baby, and the second one provides a miscarriage. So this bill would require universities to provide this abortion pill through their health plans.
Now, this is not the same as the morning after pill. This is not what they sometimes have called Plan B.
No, it is not. The difference is Plan B is used for women after the morning after they have intercourse or anything. And it is to prevent the pregnancy, while the abortion pill, RU486, is actually used once the woman is pregnant and she is aware that she is pregnant.
So Plan B is given if a woman is raped or if a woman has unprotected sex or is otherwise worried that she might become pregnant, it's given right away to prevent the sperm and the egg actually uniting and creating a new life.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, so it's not in and of itself an abortion-creating drug. There's lots of controversy from a Catholic moral perspective about its use, but it's not the same as 486. RU486 actually takes a baby that is in the very beginning stages of development because the DNA is already combined between the egg and the sperm. We have a complete DNA starting, and everything's dividing and moving fine, and RU486 stops the pregnancy and kills the child.
Yes.
So that's the big difference here. So we're not just talking about having something available as that Plan B that some people would talk about. We're talking about a chemical abortion that actually the state of California wants to make available to our college women on campus. Is that essentially what the bill would provide them?
Yes, that's what it would provide.
So where are we right now in that process? Do you know?
So right now the bill actually, I believe it has been passed to it already passed the Senate. It was voted on, and it's currently at the desk of the representatives.
For the assembly?
Yes, for the assembly.
Okay. So right now it's gone from the Senate, passed there. It's gone to the assembly, which is a larger body of people. The Senate is usually the more liberal side, meaning it's more likely to pass in the Senate. So there's a possibility it might not pass for the assembly. Is that correct?
Yes. So right now we're trying to prevent it from passing there.
So what kinds of things are you encouraging people to do?
So the main thing we've been doing as a, this is a big California thing, so we've been coordinating all of the Southern California clubs, college clubs, and even high school clubs to do different advocacy. We had a meeting last week with the UC president to talk about where they stand on this. Interestingly enough, the UCs have taken a neutral stand, so they haven't supported it, but they also haven't said that they're against it. So we've been talking to them. We've been talking to different campus representatives. We've been talking to our legislators on campus. Also, we've been flyering. We've been holding tables and speaking about the different effects.
So you've been busy.
Yes.
So you've got lots of things going on. You're talking to your legislators. Are you sending letters to the legislators, or are you inviting them? How is that working?
So we all signed a letter. For example, our club sent a letter signed by all of us stating that we are against this. And then we sent it to our regional coordinator for Students for Life of America. And then she got all of our letters together and sent them out to the different senators supporting the bill and who were going to be voting on it.
Okay. And then you said you're flyering. I take it that means you're taking leaflets and putting them out there?
Yes. So on college campus, flyering is very hard. UCI is a very, very big campus, so we try to split up, and then we each focus on different areas on the campus. I put flyers in the bathrooms, small flyers, and then sometimes we have bigger posters that we make by hand, and we just stick them with tape around campus. There's designated areas where there's a lot of flyers and posters for events.
Okay, so you have like kiosks or the equivalent where people can go. If they want to know what's going on, they can see what's on the kiosk. You've got them up there, and then you've got flyers in those areas.
Yes.
Okay. So people that are interested in getting involved with defeating this bill, SB 320, you said? If they want to get rid of this bill, where would they contact or what would they do? How would they get a hold of this group of yours, that if they're on UCI and they want to be involved?
So there is a website called nocampusabortions.com. And we do have a petition on there. And then there also, you can look up our group. We have a section for ourselves, UC Irvine. It's separate. And then we are holding a petition there, and that has all the information for how to get involved and how to talk to representatives, how to get involved on college campus.
So that website again is?
NoCampusAbortions.com.
NoCampusAbortions.com. And by going there, people can find out information about your website, about your organization or other organizations like it for those who are not necessarily at UCI. And then they can get more information on how to get involved locally with fighting this bill that would put abortion drugs on campus.
Yes.
Wow. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today is the pro-life leader at UCI, Alicia Jacinto. And Alicia is talking to us about what they've been doing at UCI. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about what's going on campus as to why this is such an important bill right at this time in this place in our history. We'll be right back.
Academic rigor and excellence are at the heart of private Catholic education. In 2016, 8 Diocese of Orange schools were awarded the highest U.S. Department of Education distinction through the No Child Left Behind Act Blue Ribbon School Program. The program honors public and private K-12 schools that are academically superior in their states or demonstrate dramatic gains in student achievement. Learn more. Visit OCCatholicSchoolsWeek.com.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Breaking news! A new and very special guest has been added for our Holy Land Cruise this July. None other than Bishop Kevin Vann.
Join Bishop Vann, along with Bishop Tim Fryer, the diocesan choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City and Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise that will take you to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in all of Christendom. Call 877-538-0010 or go online to occatholic.com/travel.
And welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio, coming to you through the good offices of Relevant Radio. And with me today is a pro-life leader from our own Orange County here at UCI. And Alicia got involved at the high school level, started a group at high school, and then when she went to UCI, found that while there were a couple of Catholic groups involved, there wasn't any one group specifically dedicated to fighting for the rights of the unborn children on UCI. And so Alicia got involved with this. So Alicia Cinto, thank you very much for being here. And in case I forget, because we're now into round three of our time here, I want to make sure that I've thanked you for being here with us today. Thank you very much for coming and talking to us.
And thank you for having me as well.
I want to talk a little bit about why this is so important right now. On the campus where I'm at, and I'm not at UC, I'm at UC Riverside, I am a dad. I'm a dad of teenage daughters and one older teenage, well, 20-something son. So I'm got a father's eye to some of these things, and I can tell you that it worries me when I see what some of the people are wearing, when I see what some of the people are doing and how they're acting and then what they're talking about. I also teach coursework in religious studies. There are conversations that we have regularly. And I know that the context today for young people at the universities in Southern California, and I believe it's consistent throughout most of the United States, but just staying specific with Southern California, there's a rampant culture out there of promiscuity and of making abortions far more likely. And my question for you really is, how much of this culture on campus is tied into an anti-pro-life sentiment? I mean, for young men and women who have gotten onto campus, and there's a number of them that seem to be engaged in almost a hookup type culture, how important is it for them to ignore the idea that pregnancy is a big deal?
Being on a college campus now, it makes it very difficult for all of this. It creates an environment that makes it seem like an abortion is okay, or that it's something, a very simple and easy procedure that a woman could just take care of really easily. So it's created, I would say, a toxic environment, actually, where it all just comes together. There's a hookup culture on campus that says, oh, you know, there's no risk. There's no risk involved of anything. You could just hook up, and then the day after, if you need to take a pill or just take care of it through an abortion, they make it seem like it's so easy. And then there's also the media side, where there's through even TV shows now where abortions are portrayed as an easy procedure with no consequences for a woman whatsoever. And it's also everything just combined makes it a very difficult environment for women who face an unplanned pregnancy, where it looks like their only option is an abortion.
Well, and let's talk about that for just a moment, because if you are, say, a 19-year-old woman who is in her second year of college and you've had sex with your boyfriend or whomever, and you find yourself pregnant, for this woman, that means that she's going to have to give up several months of her life if she's going to go through with having this pregnancy, where she would likely have to either drop out of school or have school endangered anyway. And that's assuming that she gives the baby up for adoption, which would also be a painful process emotionally to do. That's not a neutral option. Adoption is a wonderful option on the one hand, but it's still hard. I mean, let's call it the truth behind it. It would be very hard to know that you're giving your child up. But the other side of that would be the other options to kill the child.
Mm-hmm.
But in our society, we don't like to look at it that way, that the option is to have a fulfilled life without any delays, without any sidetracks, without any diversions. We can just sail right in through, because all we have to do is to do this little procedure that will kill the child, but we don't want to call it that. We'll abort the fetus, since fetus is a much better word to use than a baby. And we can then move right on with the rest of our lives. But it isn't just aborting a fetus. It is killing an unborn baby. And women know this. And so the culture that you find yourself in at UCI, which I see at UCR, which I've seen at other campuses, is one that almost acts as if having this sexual engagement is not only okay, it's supported by everyone, so long as we don't call it what it is. How much of your ministry, how much of your focus is on getting people to understand the reality of what an abortion is and why this is not an option that they should be really entertaining? How much of what you do is involved in that?
So I'd say that would be our main focus, just taking away from the culture that says, oh, this is your only option, this is the only way to go. So our focus has really, from the start, been to focus on showing women, hey, there are other resources, you know, this isn't the main option for you. You have all these many other options that women really aren't aware of because of this culture that shows them one side but not the other. For example, Title IX is part of a policy that all campuses in California, I'm not sure if all other states, but in California there's Title IX, which protects a pregnant woman on campus. If she's pregnant, she has the flexibility to miss exams due to her pregnancy. So she can't be said, she can't be told, oh, you can't take your final exam if she had to go give birth or something. If she's a college athlete and she's on a scholarship, she cannot be, that scholarship cannot be taken away because she's pregnant. And that's part of the protections of Title IX. But women aren't told about these. They're told, they get scared. They're like, oh, if they're pregnant, I'm going to lose my scholarship. I won't be able to take my test. So we focus on spreading awareness about Title IX through tabling. We host tabling events. We have big displays that are provided to us by the Students for the Life of America, where we spread awareness about, for example, we had one that says defund Planned Parenthood. And we focus on how there are federally qualified health centers that provide much better quality options. They provide way more services than organizations like Planned Parenthood and better quality care for these women.
Well, my understanding is that Planned Parenthood provides almost no services that actually are part of carrying a pregnancy to term. Almost all of their services are designed to either preventing pregnancy or killing the child in the womb. That's almost entirely what they do.
Yes.
So the idea of defunding Planned Parenthood is something that has been a hot ticket item for a long time with people who are pro-life, yet our government still continues to provide funding to them because a few of the clinics provide a few services amongst the multitude of abortions that they provide, the multitude of killings that they do. So I want to go back to where we are. So on campus today, with this culture that says that it's you're here at school, you're kind of half anonymous because no one really knows you. If you're going to make mistakes, this is the time to make the mistakes. We don't want to have the consequences of the mistakes we make. Even though we Catholics know, we know better. We know Catholic guilt. We know that there's consequences for what we do. Not just going to have an abortion and then not think about it anymore. On the contrary, you know, we haven't talked about this, but there's psychological, emotional, and physical problems that come from having a pregnancy terminated. What do you tell young women that come up and talk to you about that? What are you able to say to them about what the consequences would be? Why you don't want to do this to yourself?
So we tell them, first of all, that an abortion is not a solution. It actually adds more problems before the culture, like you said, it just makes it seem like, oh, you just go in, you know, it's like getting in your appendix removed and it's done, you're done with. But there's so much more effects, and that's what we try to emphasize a lot, psychological effects. It's a very traumatic experience. The procedures for abortion are very hard on the woman, both physically and emotionally. It's a very, if you ever look at the procedures of how an abortion is actually done, it's a process that invades the body of a woman. And it causes the woman to suffer. She may be bleeding after, so there's physical harm. There's an emotional harm of having a baby and a life inside of you, and then hours after, there's not. So we try to tell the woman on campus that there are these effects and there are consequences after.
That seems to me that it would be so emotionally overwhelming to think about what you just said, that a moment ago there was a life inside of you. It was a real life. It was a human life. It was distinct from you. It had a separate DNA. It had a separate soul, and it had a separate destiny. And now it's no longer there. Forget about guilt. Forget about who's accountable for that killing. Just that there was the separate human being, your child, and now there isn't. I'm not sure that would ever fully go away. And I would think that in college it would be very tempting to shove it under the rug and pretend that it will go away and you will heal. But I would think it would come back to bite. It would come back to harm. Do you know of the psychological consequences that happen to women as they go through life later?
Yes. So there are a lot of statistics that are easy to look up. I don't know any of them from top of my head, but there is a lot of depression. These women suffer from depression after they suffer from anxiety, and they suffer from the remorse of knowing what they did, but then they can't go back and take it back. So there's a lot of women also, their body suffers from, like I said, these procedures are done and they're not natural to the body. So they go against the nature of the human body, the woman, and some of them maybe aren't able to have children afterwards because...
Well, and there's hormonal issues that get involved as well.
Yes, hormonal issues.
Because the body was getting all geared up to have a baby, and the further along, the more the body's geared up to have the baby. Now, all of a sudden, the baby's not there. It causes physical, emotional, hormonal issues that get involved as well. So I was reading an article about a year ago about why we don't hear sermons on abortion very often in church. And the person who was writing the article made a comment about the statistics of who sitting in the pews likely had an abortion 20 years before, 10 years before. And the last thing that they want to do is to be reminded of that. But because of that, because they don't want to think about the baby that they killed, because of that, we don't talk much about it. So the time to talk about it is now on college, the campus, prior to the abortions taking place. So how successful has your group been at being able to talk about this issue on campus?
Like you said, it's very difficult to talk about because you never know who's sitting on the campus. We might be hosting an event. We don't know of any of those women. So we always try to encounter these women with a lot of compassion and then just
yes.
Because we never know what they've been through. So we've hosted a lot of different speakers, and we've had a good turnout for, I would say, all, if not most of our events. And we hope that at least if women come there, they're able to, or anybody who comes there is able to spread the news. So we've been successful on that part of hosting speakers. And a lot of the speakers that we've invited to come speak on campus are people who do talk about the effects of abortion, what happens after, the consequences that these women have to face for years.
That's fantastic. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. We're talking about some rather depressing thoughts in a way, but also some very hopeful ones, because with me is a very young but very vibrant pro-life leader who is helping to provide alternatives to such depressing things by talking to her fellow classmates about what is available to them so that abortion doesn't have to happen. When we come back, I'm going to talk about how other people can do what you've done, Alicia. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, and we will be right back.
This is Deacon Steve Greco, and I'm radio host of the show Empowered by the Spirit. I've recently written a book, Expect and Experience Miracles, that is available on Amazon. And the reason we did that is because the Lord Jesus Christ wants to shower us with his love and shower us with his grace, which is unmerited favor. The definition of miracle is God's supernatural intervention in our lives. And Jesus does that all the time. Let's be open to it. Expect miracles, and you will see the grace that God has in store for you. God bless you all.
This coming July, join Bishop Tim Fryer, the Diocesan Choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City in Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise departing from Naples that will take you to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in Christendom. Visit the birthplace of St. Junipero Serra in Mallorca, Spain. Celebrate Mass in the famed Gaudi Cathedral of Sagrada Familia in Barcelona, and visit Pisa and Florence, Italy. For more information, call 877-538-0010 or go to occcatholic.com/travel.
And welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio. And I'm Rick Howick, your host. Today we're talking about UCI and the pro-life program that was started about 3 years ago by little Alicia Jacinto. And I say little because she's a small little girl. I'm sorry, I'm an old man. And she got involved in high school with the pro-life movement, took it to UCI because they didn't really have a group that was dedicated to pro-life awareness and involvement. And for the last 3 years, she's been involved deeply in that. But she's moving on. Now, my question is, because you're this actually, for such a very quiet person, I'm listening to how you're talking. You're very intense and dynamic at what you do, aren't you? So you're getting through your school in 3 years, not four, which I'm sure that you're everyone involved in your family is happy not to pay the extra tuition money. So that's a good thing. But you're going to be leaving soon. This group is not limited to you, though. So there are other people on campus that are going to be continuing this group?
Yes. I would say we call ourselves like the co-presidents because we work that well together. And it's myself and another member who's also graduating. Right now it's a group of five. And we all coordinate and lead the group. But apart from that, we also have other members who regularly come, whether it's to our meetings, others just come to our events, others come whenever we're tabling and doing campus outreach. So I have a pretty good group on campus, I would say.
And that's the Anteachers for Life?
Yes. So to explain the name.
Yeah, we got to go there. You're talking aardvarks and things. Anteachers. Why Anteachers?
So the mascot at UCI is an anteater.
Got it.
And so we call ourselves Anteachers for Life.
Okay, so it has to do with the campus mascot. Got it. Okay, so Anteaters for Life, that organization is there on campus. There are a number of other campuses throughout Southern California who hear this broadcast. And by the way, for anyone who would like to tell other people about what Alicia has been doing, then you can hear the podcast of this at OC Catholic, and her podcast will be up there under OC Catholic Radio. If they're interested, if there are people out there that are at a university of which there are literally hundreds within the hearing range of different colleges and universities in Southern California that would like to start a pro-life group, how would they go about doing it? What would be your suggestion?
So the first suggestion would be to go to the website, Students for Life of America, or studentsforlife.org.
Or you can studentsforlife.org.
Yes.
Or you can just look up under Google Students for Life.
Yes, Students for Life of America. They're this huge national organization, and you can find a regional coordinator on there. You just look up, I want to start a group, and then you're able to find a coordinator, get in contact with them, and they will either tell you whether there's a college group on your campus or if you can start one. And they usually connect you with each other. That's how I started mine.
Yeah, that was interesting. So they will take your information, and if there isn't anybody else on that campus that they're aware of, they'll hold your name. And then if someone else pops up, say, the next semester, they'll say, okay, can we link you together? So you get to share information?
Yes. So that's what happened with me. There was somebody else at UCI who wanted to start one, and he told them he wanted to start one. And then I told them I wanted to start one, so they paired us together, and then we found other members as well. Or sometimes maybe you will tell them, oh, I have the people, or let's say I have a group of four people plus myself who wants to start one, and they will give you all the resources that you need to start a group.
Okay. So when you say they'll give you all the resources that you need to start a group, if someone's interested in starting a group, what are they in for? What did it take out of you to do this?
So they're in for a long process sometimes to start a club, but it's also a rewarding process. Students for Life of America makes it so easy. They give from the actual physical resources from a handbook, very detailed handbook that says what to do when you start a group, how to recruit people, how to host an event, from everything. They give you every month they give you supplies depending on their theme. For example, if they're holding adoption month, then they give you a lot of papers and leaflets to pass out at school for free. So they provide a lot of, or they will just host speakers for you. If you're like, I want to host a speaker, they will help you find a speaker.
Okay. So again, the website is
studentsforlife.org.
Okay. Studentsforlife.org. If someone wanted to go there, but wasn't necessarily sure they wanted to start a group, but was interested in the pro-life idea, what kind of resources would they find there?
There's a lot of information. There's a section where they have their blogs where you can learn about more events through reading their blogs. Or they also have the section for high school, college, or even homeschooled groups. And those sections also provide a lot of facts where you could just learn about the facts about how abortion is done, how the statistics. And there's also a section where materials, where you can find a lot of books, which are pretty cheap, I would say. Books, materials, they have leaflets, they have shirts, all that material also.
So if someone was interested, or if someone had a friend who was in a pregnancy crisis, this would not be a bad place to go to get some information to learn about what abortion is versus what the pro-life movement might be able to offer to help.
No. So they also have their branch. They branched off and formed the Pregnant on Campus initiative. So they have the link on the main website, which leads them to the Pregnant on Campus. You can search up your own campus, and then they will give you all the resources that are available on your campus. Some universities have more than others, whether there's childcare, changing tables, Title IX, your rights as a student, as a mother, a pregnant student. And they have all these resources for women where you can go to get pregnancy help, how to contact someone in your area. So there's a lot of resources on that website.
So if someone was a student on campus and they found themselves pregnant, this would be a great place to go before they start thinking of anything else other than a short prayer. And then to maybe a long prayer and then to try to find out what is available. Because as you said, there are rights that the campuses have to respect. And that includes your ability to have some flexibility on when due dates are available or on different things that are required from you, especially if you're having health issues that are involved and that the Title IX is involved with that. And that this site will also help set you up so that you can find resources in your area or help people that might be able to help you, people that might be able to give you guidance, people that might be able to direct you, people that might be able to make this something that you can get through and then do it in a way where you're not looking back on your life and saying, I should never have done that to my child.
Yes. So the website just, as you mentioned, it provides a little bit of everything. For a pregnant woman could just go and find everything. She needs a health center to go to. She needs help on her campus. She just needs somebody to talk to for support. There's those numbers you could call as well.
Now, for anyone who was interested in getting involved at the state level and know more about SB 320, would that also be a website that they can go to?
Yes. Or I would also work on looking something in your local area. If you're in California, Californians for Life also provides. Their website is, you could just look up Californians for Life, and you can find, they provide a lot of events. They do a lot of advocacy and legislative visits in Sacramento, or they also do a lot of local visits. So they're a great organization that works on most of the advocacy part.
Fantastic. So if I have people that are interested in being involved, they can go ahead and go to Californians for Life. And they'll be able to find more information on 320, because the last thing that we need in a culture that has already made sex so divorced from the idea that you're actually building something love and open to life between a husband and wife who are open to that, that to now make an increased availability of a drug that will kill your children without ever having to go to an abortion clinic, which was so inconvenient. To have that law passed would be a travesty and a tragedy for California. Well, I want to thank you so very much for coming on to the show to talk a little bit about how people can be more deeply involved with the pro-life movement and what's going on at UCI and what people would, what they'd be able to do if they wanted to start something on campus. What has been the most fulfilling part? Because you're looking back now. You've only got a couple months before you graduate. What's been the most fulfilling part for you to be involved with this pro-life group that you started?
That's a good question. The most fulfilling part of this is just creating a resource for women on campus. Sometimes it's difficult. We don't actually see the fruits of what we do. It's such a huge campus, and maybe we'll be tabling out for hours, and then we'll have a lot of people come by, but we won't know if it's actually making an impact. So the most fulfilling part is really just knowing within ourselves. And like I said, we're a really close-knit group, and we all support each other so much. And the most fulfilling part is being able to be a part of this group that we know deep down that we're making a difference. We're creating a voice for pro-life people to speak on campus. We're creating like a something against the norm, something that goes against the culture that says this doesn't matter and we're there to counter it. So it's really good to just be able to be a voice for life and just be a voice for life on campus.
So again, if someone wanted to start a program like that, the website was?
studentsforlife.org.
studentsforlife.org. And they can go ahead and find all sorts of reading material, lots of podcasts, you said. Do you have any podcasts on there yourself?
No, I do not.
Okay. You might now. You can have them put a link to this one. Because if anyone does want to hear what this was all about, either SB 320 or about you at UCI or about how they could start a pro-life group, they can go to OCCatholic.org and they can download the podcast and they can hear you over and over and over again about how to be able to be involved with establishing a culture of life on campuses here in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, Alicia, I want to thank you so very much for coming in and for talking to us and for sharing a little of the ministry that you're doing there, a little of the love of God that you have brought to UCI and to our listening audience. Would you please lead us in a word of prayer?
Sure. And thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here today, for enjoying and being able to spread more about the wonderful work that you do through us and for using us as your disciples on campus, on schools, and different communities throughout California. Thank you for being able to help us shine a light on these campuses. And we pray that you will help through any of our activities throughout the rest of the day. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Alicia Jacinto, I want to thank you very much for coming in again, and I am so glad that you are out there at UCI doing the ministry that you're doing the organizing that you're doing, organizing speakers, being able to have tables, getting leaflets out, and providing resources and support for all those who are either trying to provide an alternative to people who have a crisis pregnancy, or for people themselves who might be in a crisis pregnancy. Thank you. You made a comment that I want to make sure I touch on for just a moment. You said you never get to see the fruits, or very rarely get to see the fruits of what you do. Those of us in radio have that same problem. I used to be a principal of a school and have been in Catholic education for a long time. Every once in a while, you would see someone come back and they would say, "Thank you, Mr. Howiger. Thank you for what you did." Or, "Gosh, I hated that assignment, but you know what? I learned so much from it that I didn't realize before." I can tell you right now that the work that you're doing, even if it's just to get the hope out there, is something that's infectious, and it's going to be something that will be very appreciated by many people, perhaps many generations. So, Lisa, thank you. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and we will see you again next week.
This is Father Dave Dwyer, host of the Busted Halo Show, broadcast on SiriusXM's The Catholic Channel. On Friday morning, May 4th, I'll be speaking at the Orange Catholic Foundation's Conference on Business and Ethics at Hotel Irvine. This event has been rated the number one nonprofit breakfast in Orange County by the Orange County Business Journal for the past 4 years. This year's breakfast event will feature a keynote address by His Eminence, Timothy Cardinal Dolan. That alone is worth any price for admission. Receiving the Farmers and Merchants Lifetime Achievement Award will be the National High School Coaches Association Coach of the Year, Mater Dei's own Bruce Rawlinson. The Conference on Business and Ethics is known for bringing a faith-based community of influence influential business, religious, academic, and philanthropic leaders together, knowing that they share a common commitment to ethical best practices in their daily lives. Its loftier purpose is to raise funds that provide financial aid for students who desire but otherwise could not afford a quality Catholic education. To sponsor this year's event or to purchase tickets, go online to orangecatholicfoundation.org. Help a child attend a Catholic school and attend the best breakfast event in Orange County. Sign up today at orangecatholicfoundation.org, and I'll see you on May 4th.